off a dead horse.
Hate to beat off a dead horse, but I think we should get started.
After 246 episodes, we are beating off a dead horse.
This week on Hard On Podcast, it's like an episode of Fear Factor.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. We've sedated five horses. One of them is dead, and we're not going to tell you which one. So basically, they have to jerk off these horses, and whichever one
doesn't respond.
Yeah. Like, fuck. I mean, in one hand, you're the loser, but in reality, you're probably the winner.
That's a nice way to look at it. Especially with some Fear Factor, on some Fear Factor shit, right?
Because it seems like something Joe Rogan would do.
And they always have to do something super gross afterwards. Like, if that's not gross enough, it was like, you got to fill the cup and then pound the drink or whatever. So there's one guy like, you know, I want that $100,000, but
sure.
At what cost? I ask. At what cost?
I can't even watch. Like, so I was into Fear Factor back in the day.
Yeah.
Because fuck it, because I was a, you know, young teen, mm-hmm. and everything like that was hilarious, you know. But now that like Joe Rogan is who Joe Rogan is now, like looking back on episodes of Fear Factor, I'm like, I couldn't rewatch this if I wanted to. I think
I hate what's happened with that. You know, I know we talked about it before, but God, I used to really enjoy listening to him talk about comedy, and it's just been a tough year. It's been a tough year for him. I wonder if that's just what happens when you get that much money. It's got to mess with your head.
You just completely lose touch.
It's got to mess with your head. I mean, everybody in your life becomes someone who agrees with you. You know what I mean? You have no more pushback. You have no more limitations. Like, $100 million is a lot of money. I mean, I know
it's
he wasn't hurting before, but I mean, $100 million, that's, yeah.
And I'm sure, I mean, UFC pays him.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
not his only gig. He still does stand-up, I mean, I would imagine. I mean, obviously not right now, but I'm saying, like, I would imagine once, you know, he can, he'll get back to that, too. So it's not like this guy's going broke even before the podcast shit.
No.
So. It's insane.
You hate to see it happen.
You really do. It's a perfect example of, like, somebody, like... Like, everybody was into him originally because it's like, well, he's not afraid to, like, ask people shit that he has on his show. And, like, that's cool. Like, I'm into that. I'm super into that. He'll bring up whatever and talk about whatever. And he used to be, you know, like, and he still does claim he's the originator of the I don't know shit about shit, right? Like, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, now he's spewing shit like he just knows everything. Even though he'll preface it with, like, oh, I don't really know. I'm like, no, dude, you're spewing bullshit.
There's a responsibility when you have that many listeners, even if you do say, like, hey, I've been kicked in the head a bunch of times, so don't listen to me. But then don't spend 4 hours on a podcast explaining your point of view if you don't want people to listen to you, because you're going to make sense.
Well, right. I mean, it's a little, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because it's kind of what we do, I guess. But at the same time, like, I don't have a $100 million contract with fucking Spotify or whatever he's working with. But, like, I first saw things going shitty when he had Ben Shapiro on. I think that was my first red flag of, like,
yeah.
I don't like where this is going.
Well,
because
he was
my
friends
thing
with
is
Alex,
like,
Jones, too. But,
yeah, oh, for
ahead.
Sure.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
I mean, Alex Jones is obviously a piece of shit. You know what I mean? But, like, my biggest thing with, like, but at least with Alex Jones, I could see where Joe Rogan would be like, yeah, but he talks about some crazy shit, so let's have him on. You know what I mean? I can be like, all right. I can see why you would want to do that. I don't agree with it, but I can get it. I can wrap my head around it. But like assholes like Ben Shapiro, it's like there's no good that can come out of this. Like, you literally just can't give guys like that asshole airtime.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. Like, I'm all for reach across the aisle, but like some people are beyond reach. So
I liked I learned an awful lot listening to that show when I used to listen to it. And occasionally, you know, they'd pepper in some people that were on the other side. And I guess at the time I felt like I had good intentions by listening to it, because I thought, you know, I don't want to live in an echo chamber. I don't want all this confirmation bias I have in my life, because I have a ton. Like, I only, if you look at everybody I follow, you know, across social media and all the subreddits I'm, you know, I go to and my top visited websites and shit. I mean, it's all just me reaffirming my own opinion. And sure. I recognize that. So
but that's the difference.
Yeah.
You have to recognize.
But yeah, but you have to act on it too, though. Like, yeah, I recognize it, but I'm also not tuning into Fox News for, you know, an hour a day just to see what the other side's saying because I get so angry. Enough. But I try to use Rogan as that, as a way to do that, you know? And I don't know. And then he just lost the plot. For me, it was the COVID thing because he was so adamant about vitamins and no one's talking about healthy immune system and that's where it starts and you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to work out more and you got to take vitamins because that's what's and I'm just like, dude, like, look, you're a comic, you're a fighter,
and it's so baseless.
Just
sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and especially in a year ago, like, nobody knew. If nobody knew shit about anything, nobody knew shit about this
right
in March of 2020. You know, and this guy's out there telling people to take Alpha Brain and do squat thrusts and they're going to be fine. I'm like, that shit's dangerous. So I think that's where I started to get pissy. And he became a little, he started becoming anti-vax. Like, look, dude, your political beliefs are whatever you want them to be. And I'm all about free speech and I'm all about all that shit. Like, whatever. But where I get like kind of lost in that shit is like when you actively try to hurt people. Mm-hmm. With dangerous shit like you know, don't wear a mask and don't fucking get vaccinated and build your immune system. Like, that's just advice that's going to get people killed, period.
Right. I mean, and on top of that, no one is saying don't build your immune system,
right?
No one's arguing that that's not something that's good for you. Of course, having a strong immune system is good for you, but viruses are viruses, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, it's good. It's better for it's good for you to be able to fight something off 100%. But you're going to tell that to my 85 year old great aunt,
right?
Who
right.
Like, like, what is she going to do? I'm like, oh, you should have worked out more, Beatrice.
Yeah.
Like,
I've been trying to tell you to do those diamond push-ups, but you want to be a little
right.
bitch about it.
You got
to
do that DDP yoga.
That, yeah. Save Jay. Save Jake Roberts' life. Saved his life. Whatever. Had pretty exciting. Actually, had a pretty crazy COVID week this week.
I've had a crazy COVID day.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like typical shit that pisses me off, but a lot of it at once. But
oh,
go
yeah.
ahead. I'm sorry. But go ahead.
Let's see. COVID week. Oh, so this week I celebrated my 365th day. Of quarantine.
Congratulations.
Yep. So I'm very upset about that.
But now you know you can do it. If you ever have to go to prison for anything, I mean.
I can't even talk about it. Like, I was talking with my girlfriend about it yesterday, and it just started like this really innocuous conversation of like, you know, who would have thunk it? You know, that whole thing. But I get like two sentences in, and I get so angry that I'm like pacing around and yelling, and I just. Yeah, it's not funny. It's not cute to me. I just hate everybody. The other thing was I had to go to a funeral.
Really?
So, yeah. So I went to a funeral.
Shit.
I haven't been out of the house in I don't know how long. I mean, besides, like, you know, taking a ride to the ATM or whatever. But
I mean, shit you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't go to the store. I don't do anything. Like, I'm just here, you know. So yeah, had to go to a funeral. Had to go to a church and be in a church with people and stuff like that. And so that was nerve wracking, but you know, I had to do it. So what are you gonna do? And then I found out that I'm getting the jab. I'm very excited about that. So
yes, you and me both, my buddy. I was gonna say buddy, and then I was gonna say my friend.
My buddy friend.
My buddy. That was that toy right back in the day.
Yeah
that's you. That's how I picture you.
Just, you're gonna like take me up to your clubhouse and set me down and
talk. Yeah, I'm gonna sling you over my shoulder and yeah. I take you everywhere I go.
They made another version of that. They made Kid Sister, and it was for
right.
It was yeah for the girls. I think I actually had a Kid Sister.
That was your real life sister, Jay.
I have to make some phone calls.
Yeah, no, man. We both found out we're getting hooked up with the
shot.
With the yeah,
we're gonna shots, be shots, you and shots, I shots, shots, shots. Are gonna be vaccinated on the same day,
mm-hmm.
which is so funny, and so fortuitous. It means that today's what, the 14th, so about nine-ish days, we should be getting poked.
Yep.
Which means that inside of 10 days of that shot, we will respectively be 91% immune. And then, you know, three, four weeks after our shot, 28 days later, we'll get our second one. And then 10 days after that, Sean, which falls on May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
The 4th will be with us.
There's really not a reason that we couldn't get together and do a podcast.
There's literally no reason at that point.
There's literally no reason. There's literally no reason. The maiden voyage in the office.
I'm gonna hug you so hard.
Oh, I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna hug. I'm gonna hug you inappropriately long.
Oh, we should. Never mind. I was gonna say we should hug at work and make everybody really uncomfortable
for a long time.
Yeah, just like we'll spot each other from across the way.
Yep.
Be like, they've been there for 2 hours.
Take our masks off, like run at each other, rip our masks off on the way, and then just lock it up. Somebody would turn hose on us.
Yeah, we got to break this up.
You guys, you got to get something done today. Seriously, you can use PTO for this. There's nothing being done. Let him go. It's been a year in the making. Let it go.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I haven't seen you in person because we were doing the outside podcast.
Yeah.
But
outside podcast. But that stopped in October. I think the last one we did was like October, early October, if not September. The last one we did was cold. It was miserably cold.
I remember it being cold and being like, well, I guess this is it. This is the last one.
We had a couple false stops. We had a couple where it was like, it was cold. Yeah. And then we were like, oh, this is probably the end. But then we'd get a stretch of good weather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so October, November, December, January, 5 months. So by the time we get together again and do a podcast, I mean, we could, you know, if it's the weather's good, we could definitely do it outside. But I think we will return to normal homeostasis in May.
I was thinking it'd be funny because both of our significant others are fully vaccinated, correct?
Yes.
I was having visions of us driving to a parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and having them interact, recreate our relationship, but with each other.
On our behalf.
And I would be on like one walkie-talkie in my car, or like on the phone with Kieran in my car. And you would be on the phone with your girlfriend in the other car. And I'd be like, all right, now tell her.
I really like this.
Tell her that you love her and that you really like spending time with her. And then she would tell her, and then she would relay it back to you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's basically just using them as puppets.
Yes.
Yeah.
They would be puppets of us because they're fully vaccinated. Be like, yeah, you guys go. Let's be us.
Be us.
As we watch.
Yeah, my girlfriend's good. Thursday.
You know what? We should do some shit. Like, for real, though.
As
far as, like, because once we'll be vaccinated, our families will essentially be good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we wanted to do dinner or something. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to put you on the spot in the podcast. But something to think about.
I think that my emergence from this cocoon is going to be very slow, and I think it's going to and I think it's going to be fraught with peril. I think that there's going to be a lot of moments where I don't know, dude, it's never been so close. We are 9 days away from getting our shot.
Yeah.
And then I know it takes two shots, and I know it's 10 days after the second shot, like I know all that, but just getting the first one, it's like,
well, the first one's huge. That's the main shot.
The first one is, yeah, you're 91%.
The second one is like a booster to cap everything off.
Inside of 2 weeks, we will be, if something happened and I needed to be somewhere, I would feel pretty okay a week after we got our shots, which is like, that's a week away.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's so insane because I just haven't been... I just haven't done shit. So it's going to be weird. I've been reading a lot about it. They're saying that people are going to have trouble with eye contact and proximity and like the idea, like your purple circle, you know, your the space around mm-hmm. you in which you feel comfortable, people invading your personal space, that they've seen has grown so large for people who have been in the hole like me, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be nothing but a science experiment.
mm-hmm.
It's
going to be. It's the reinstitution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like my instinct is like go out, like go and do stuff. You know, like I want to be able to like go down to the bar down the block and like be like I'm back, like I'm here, hello everybody, and get right back into it. But I don't think that I'm going to be able to do that.
Well, it's not an on-off switch. That's the thing, and I've been trying to remind myself that for like 6 months now.
Yeah,
because I remember like having that moment or initially of being like, how do we do this? How do we go back to normal? And it's not a switch. We didn't even shut down, you know, like that. It was a series of steps. You know what I mean? That it was a fast paced thing because it was one day it was like one thing, and then the next day it was more, and the next day it was more. As we learn things, but I mean, people aren't rushing out to get vaccinated, and that's what the problem is.
Insanity.
That local, you probably saw there was a place locally that had 500 extra doses.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so there's this place in Hageman that was doing one, that was doing a vaccination clinic this coming Tuesday. And as of last Wednesday, they had 500 available appointments still. And I'm like, how are all the people that are eligible not knocking down the door for these spots?
I mean, what? That doesn't even that idea that doesn't even make sense.
500, dude.
Those are like, unclaimed lottery tickets, is what that is.
Exactly.
It's the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. It's everybody wants this. Literally everybody in the world needs this. Dumb shit town.
I know, dude. And like, so everybody's like, the county's sharing it on Facebook, and people are sharing it all over the place, and it's like, dude, just go get your shot. Just go, like, and it's, I understand if you're like 40 years old and you're not eligible, of course you can't go get it. You're not supposed to, you know what I mean? But if you're like 62 years old and you're choosing to not actively get yourself an appointment, I understand early on it was hard to get them.
Yeah.
For sure. And people were struggling to try
Real
to
hard.
Get appointments.
Yeah.
But it's not like that anymore. You can make appointments now. Fucking do it, dude.
So we, oh. Every time I open a bottle, that's the sound.
With that bottle opener, yep. John Sterling. Do you think that's actually John Sterling?
Oh,
it doesn't
yeah.
sound like him.
I think it's you're hearing it through the mic and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's him. It's him.
I was gonna say, it doesn't sound like him, though.
No, it's him. There's even a little New York playing in the background with a crowd. You can kind of hear. Yeah. So a friend of mine. So the night before we each got the word that we were going to get our vaccinations. It was like midnight. I'm laying in bed, dicking around on my phone. I come across this website. I think it's called Dr. B. And it's like basically, yeah you sign up for leftover vaccines. You give them your phone number and your zip code. And anytime, mm-hmm. you know, you're within range of anything that's left over, you'll get a text. If, you know, just go get basically.
Yeah, it's basically drop everything and you're up.
Go, yeah, now. Yeah. Because, you know, these things spoil. So they need to. Okay. So I like sign up for that shit. Get the next morning, get the call. I'm like completely overwhelmed. Like, holy shit, this is happening. And then I text a friend of mine who has like a bunch of pre-existing conditions and shit. And I'm like, dude, unbelievably, I am getting this thing and this is happening. And he's like, well, what the fuck? How's that working? No. Because he had showed me his like paperwork saying he was eligible. He's like, talk to my doctor. He says there's nothing available. And I'm like,
you can't talk to your doctor.
Yeah,
though,
I'm like, what? When? You know, so I look at there's a website where you can go on, New York State site, you know, and it shows you all the mm-hmm. vaccination things. And I've been checking that thing like a lunatic, like over the last few months, just trying to get parents set up and, you know, older relatives and shit. And there's never anything available ever, ever. Mm-hmm. I go onto this site and everything says appointments available the whole way down the page. It was crazy. So I'm So that's where we are. We used to be, you know, booking out appointments into deep April and shit. And now it's everything's available.
And now it's like you want to go in 2 days. If you're eligible, you probably can.
Yeah.
So
just go. Well, we're getting done. We're getting did.
Yeah.
Do you have any trepidation at all? Like in your heart of hearts, are you, do you have any nerves about this at all?
No.
No.
Especially at this point. So many people have gotten it and done the deed. And I'm not I really don't have a reason to be, you know.
Sure. Is that your 3:30 Shamrock Shake coming to you right now?
No, no. It, today, Kieran's bringing me stuff that we had bought out in the world. But she, do you want to say hi? No, she doesn't want to say hi. No, today she gave me things that we bought at the dollar store, but she used them for a haul video, like a for her YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And now that she's done with them, I can have them.
Congratulations. What'd you get?
Yeah, do you want a little haul?
Yeah,
yeah, I can give it to you.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Here are black push pins.
Okay.
Little round black push pins. Yeah. Because I also just got a cork board that I'm gonna put on the wall down here. Very excited. And the next two things you're gonna make fun of me for, so I don't know if I want to I'll show them to you, but I'm gonna do that with the knowledge that I know you're gonna give me a hard time.
Okay. What do you got?
This one maybe less. It's a wooden beard comb.
Yep. Okay.
It's actually it might not even be wood.
Do you have to plastic. Do you have to stain that yourself? Is it like a new baseball glove? Like you got to put it under your tire and roll over?
You
a couple
oil
times?
It.
Yeah, yeah.
You literally do. I'm actually not kidding. Like you put your beard oil on it and then you comb your beard.
Okay.
With it.
All right. Good.
And this next thing I didn't even need, but I got, and because they were a dollar at the Dollar Tree, and it's a package of role playing dice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you get,
You got to have them. You never know when you're gonna be on the street somewhere and spontaneously have to roll some 12-siders. You never know. Somebody's is there like a code word? Like somebody yells like "throw down," and then you have to.
Well,
do it.
Well, somebody would usually ask me to do a check, basically.
Okay.
Like do a strength check or an agility check or a roll for initiative. You know, you want to.
So that's great. I mean, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I did get you a little leather pouch. Anticipating the day that you would have those, so you can keep them on you at all time. Actually, it's better if you hang it from your belt too, and that way you're putting it out there in the world. So
I actually use a silver rope.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
As a belt, yeah,
yeah, it's good.
It doesn't hold anything up. It's more of a just to kind of cinch around my waist.
It's great because then when you're out at your Ren fairs and shit, and people know that you've come to play, so then they can just like bump into you and be like, level check. Strength check, and you'll be like, you know, doth you dare mess with fucking Ruben fucking astral plane? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I got.
It's like those chips, like those coins, those military coins.
Challenge coins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to keep your die with you at all times.
Right. Yeah. Look, I got a 6-sider, an 8-sided, a 4-sided. Like, we got everything in here. There's a D20 in here.
You, mage, strength check. Just calling dudes out at the bar.
Yeah, like, oh, I guarantee you there are people out there that don't rock paper, scissors for shit. They strictly, like, listen, we'll roll a D20 and we'll see what happens.
See what happens. It's like a 60-year-old die, too, that's been passed on generation to generation.
It's wooden, you know, and he re-varnishes it, like, every six months.
Yeah, yeah.
Applies a new stain and uses, like, gold leaf on the number. It's very elaborate. It's very nice. Very tastefully done.
Seen a lot of rolls.
They've been trying to get him to open an Etsy shop, but he's like, I do this for me. This isn't for everybody else.
I don't
want to
cheapen it. If I make it about the, Yeah, it's just cheap.
Listen, I make them for myself. I've made a few for some friends of mine who I play with, but you know, who I role play with. And nice. Like it would kind of take away from the magic, if you will.
It would kind of take away from the magic, the gathering, if you will. And that's...
Listen, Magic the Gathering is a card-based game. It has nothing to do with dice, Jay. This is ridiculous.
You sound like a boob when you say it wrong. It's just embarrassing. Mark the time. 25 minutes in, you said...
It's like when my mom would come in shit. While I'm watching The Next Generation and be like, how's your Star Wars?
Right.
And you just make yourself sound like an idiot.
Yeah. And you have to tell her so. How else is she going to learn?
Mom, you're such an idiot. Now I missed what fucking Riker said, and I have to rewind it. But except it's 1994, and this is on TV, and I can't do shit about it.
I'm having complex feelings for Tasha Yar. Get out of here.
Oh, who didn't? Come on.
I know.
Come on.
Everybody. And literally everybody.
She literally.
Mass appeal. What are you going to do? So that was that's our COVID update.
Actually, I'm really hoping
the end is in sight.
That's how they should determine how effective your vaccine is.
With
you have to roll 12-sided
die. Yeah,
be like, all right, I see you opted in for the vaccine. Roll a die to see if it's effective.
Yeah, I like that. And then yeah. Fauci is just walking out around in the world going like, efficacy check, and then you have to 9. Is that good? I don't know what that means.
No, it's not good for
it's
you.
Not good. Open your mouth. I'll cough into it. We'll find out.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But no. So overall, very exciting news on the forefront. And today was like, I had to run some errands, which is never good for me. Never want to do that.
Right.
But there were things I needed, and to the two stores that I went to today, I see one person doing something stupid, and then I my day is gone, man. I know this is the same conversation we've had for a year, but it seemed appropriate, like, that because I've done a pretty good job of not leaving the house for the last few months, and so today I was like, all right, here we fucking go. I'm gonna go to the store, and I just got so angry so fast.
It's a balance
at people.
I'm trying to balance out. It's not a balance. There's shit that I need to do. Like, I need to buy things. My kid wants a shelf in her closet. I need to go and buy things for that shelf. I have to fix something on the house. I have to go and buy something to fix on the house. You know what I mean? Like, there's just things I need, but I just have to ask myself every time, like, can this wait? And now that there's a date in mind, I'm like, all right, can this wait until like the middle of April? Because if it can, then I'm just going to do that. If this can wait a month, that's what I'm doing. But my problem is I get lost in these like Reddit threads. There's a coronavirus thread or subreddit that I follow, and usually I have it just filtered to show me the good news. But sometimes I'm feeling bad, and I want to see the shit. And what happens is like, no matter towards the end of a thread, do yourself a favor and sort by controversial. And then you'll see somebody right near the top say something like, you know, you have to make a decision. Do you want to live your life or do you just want to, you know, wait and blah, 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 blah. People are doing the best they can.
No, that's not
the shit right there. It's not the best you can. It's just not. I mean,
it's simply not.
It's black and white. You going to the store is just not the best you can. It's not. I mean, if you need something, you're taking a risk. That's all there is. It's not the best you can. It's good.
And there are simple steps to follow when you do those things.
Right.
That lower that risk, and people will, but the people around you or yourself choose to not follow those rules.
Dude, that restaurant shit. Like, dude, I get it. People think it's safe. I just feel like,
dude,
it's not.
I love eating in restaurants.
Yeah.
Love it. Big fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know many people who don't like eating in restaurants, but I'm just saying, like, once a week, Kieran and I would like, hey, it's Saturday night. Let's go wherever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I haven't done that in a year, and I hate it.
Yeah.
But it's not that hard. We're still getting takeout. You know what I mean? I'm all for... the businesses need to survive and help the economy. I'm for that, but at the same time, the government should have done a better job making sure that these businesses were set up to be able to pay their employees.
Yeah,
and it's that shit. You know what I mean? Like, well, you got to come together. You can't close places down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you can.
You can close places down, but in turn, those people need help too. I'm not saying they don't, but
no, right.
It's not good for anybody. Nobody's happy about it. It's the thing. Like, why do you people want this? People, it's control. It's not control.
No,
if the government wanted to control you any more than they already do,
yeah, the army would be in the street. I mean, they have the power to do it, but that's not what's
happening.
They
literally could do that. Yeah,
that's looking back at the last year. And I know it's a little preemptive to do this, but just in case we end up doing a midweek podcast next week instead of a weekend one, looking back at the year, I just feel like the biggest problem in all of this, the biggest thing for me was disappointment. Like, that's the overall feeling. It's not like, you know, there's anger and sadness and shit like that, but I think the base level emotion is disappointment. And then I don't know how to deal with that emotion. Like, I need, so I get angry, you know what I mean, because I just don't know how to deal with disappointment on that level. Just the people who are weak and selfish, I don't know how I get over that. And I was having a conversation with my girlfriend about this. You know, we have a party every year, and obviously we couldn't do it last year, but I'm like, you know, I mean, we could probably do that this year. I mean, if we invite 30 people, if we do it in September, it's probably going to be a whole different world. I mean, we should probably start looking into it, you know? And then
it's like, and not to be negative, but like, you'll know out of your friend group who's been vaccinated and who hasn't.
Right.
They make that pretty clear themselves. You know what I mean? And if you chose to not invite people that aren't vaccinated, that's your prerogative. You have that right to do that. I mean, you can't go up and ask people. That's actually...
Sure, but I mean, it's
not
like...
But at the same time, you'll know.
No one's going to go to HR. I mean, you're friends with people. True. It's not like there's like... I think with my friends, there's no decorum that I need to worry about. Like,
true.
Yeah, I'm not like in their pocket.
For sure.
You know? But, right. But also, true, yeah. I feel like... I don't know that I can be okay around those people, because I've seen a lot of them just continue to live their lives and do it in sort of this, like, what's worse than being totally flippant about it is being like, I'm trying. That's worse to me, because I just want to slap the shit out of you. Like, all right,
it's
dude,
like, you're not trying.
You're not trying. Like I was talking a couple weeks ago when I was talking to my friend, he's like, I don't know how you're doing this. Yeah, it sucks, but I'm doing it so your mom doesn't get sick. I mean, like, that's it. I'm just trying to make sure everybody's okay. So I think, like, that's harder for me. And knowing that I know a lot of people who are like that, who I've seen sitting outside local bars, you know, smoking cigarettes and waiting to go back inside. I'm just like, I don't know that, and especially if I have a couple of drinks in me, I don't know that I would have the ability to stay cordial and not be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you do that? That's going to be another step in this whole, like, healing process for everybody, is how do you remain cordial? And there's people that are going to be able to get over it and be bigger, the bigger person. I just don't think that's me.
Yeah. I think I've said that before on here. Like, not to compare this situation to something like the Civil War, but it's kind of
sure.
Like, when it's over, we're all on the same team. And that's kind of the same thing. And I mean, Abraham Lincoln gave a speech towards the end of the war.
It sounds like the beginning of every shitty best man speech ever.
I know.
Abraham Lincoln gave
Abraham Lincoln once said,
Webster's dictionary defines, right, go ahead, sorry.
Unity. Yeah. As, no, but like, but basically Lincoln gave a speech at one point saying, like, the hardest thing we can do, we have to make sure we forgive each other. And I'm like, not to compare us to Abraham Lincoln, I'm just saying, like, that is going to be the hardest part of this is being like, yeah, I know you were actively not giving a shit about this, what do I do when I see you? Do I just forget it? What do I do? Well, how do I handle that?
Well, it's like, you know, my kid's friends, as she's been growing up, you know, I mean, she's getting older now and stuff, but like, you know, a few years ago, she's in like second, third grade. Her friends are nice. I don't talk to them like I talk to my friends because they're not developed. So now that all of my friends have shown themselves as being undeveloped, like, how do I have a conversation?
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, like, the bottom line with a friend, like, what I'm looking for in a friend is somebody to talk about more than the weather with, and someone mm-hmm. who I trust will make good decisions, and someone who I feel like I can respect, you know, as a person and stuff like that. And, like, everything that's happened in the last year, I hate to be an asshole about it, but if you were on the other side of this conversation, I don't respect you. I don't care what you think, because your opinions are fucking crazy. Like, you're a crazy person. And what am I going to talk about? Like, why would I ever take advice from a crazy person? Who do I turn to? Like, God, I'm in a real pickle here, and I could really use some words of advice. Hey, anti-vax, anti-masker, who kept living his life and was posting pictures of him on, like, you know, on a beach somewhere. What do I do? You know? Yeah. And then just do the opposite? Like, just listen and do the opposite? Is that how I have to live my life forever? Just always do the opposite. It's going to be a weird transition. But it's also really great that we're at a point where we're thinking about the transition.
True.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least there's that, I guess.
Yeah, at least there's that. We've come through the other side where now we're thinking about how fucked up we're all going to be. I'm looking at all this shit that I feel like I was supposed to do, like, over this time period. It's starting to look like past tense. And I'm like, how come I didn't watch every movie I've always wanted to see and just put off?
Oh, right. I played way too much Xbox the last year. But I will say this. I've spent more time. So I haven't seen, like, my college friends, who are some of my closest friends, in over a year. The last time I saw them was February of last year.
Yeah.
That being said, I've spent more time with them this year virtually than I think I did the year prior.
Right. Yeah, you guys hit so Halo pretty hard.
We do, but, like, also, you know, we're working on our web series / show thing that we're working on. Like, we've done way more with that than we had in the years prior. Like, I think it made us try a little harder
so that's nice.
Hang out and so silver lining, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see them again, but at the same time, like I said, I feel like we've spent more time together, albeit virtually, in the last year than we did in years prior.
Do you think there won't be like that big moment of like, hey, you know, do you think that will feel a little less than, I mean, because you're seeing them so much or talking to them so much, it won't feel as special, right,
as maybe somebody that I haven't, like, an acquaintance that I just haven't seen in a year. That's going to be cooler, I think. But at the same time, like, to go to a... So I used to go to New York pretty frequently. You know, every couple of months, spend a weekend down there. But, like, to the fact that I haven't been there, I haven't, you know...
I miss it. I miss the city so, like, much.
Yeah.
I was watching a movie the other night, and there was just a shot, like, there's a sequence that happened in the subway, and I looked over at my girlfriend, and I go, I can smell that right now. Like, I can smell what the subway smells like, you know?
I mean, it's piss, but at the same time,
It's piss, but it's, like, hot piss from the air being pushed by the train, and, you know?
Right,
like,
and it's, you feel your pores opening up and sucking all that piss in.
Yeah, yeah, hot New York street piss.
Right.
But I miss...
Oh, I'm not sweating.
I miss
this
piss.
Is just the piss, you know, constituting back into a liquid.
A guy I used to know was from Indiana, and I remember the first time he was in the city, and he looked over at me. We were standing at a crosswalk waiting for the light to change, and he looked down and he was just watching like this puddle, like rainwater, you know, run into a sewer. And he looks up and he's like, I ain't never been to a city that makes its own gravy before. It's always stuck with me.
That's very much how New York feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel like you're in a stew.
You just put a little water on it, it makes its own gravy. It's like, yeah, it's.
And you're just simmering in the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I
and then
fucking
the ladle
love it.
Of the Amtrak train takes you. That is, the Amtrak train takes you out of it.
That's a whole other thing, dude. The city's a whole different place now. I mean, they got. It went back to like 1972 in the last year. And, you know, in January, it was still like Disneyfied. It still had that Giuliani stink all over it. And then it just turned back into Escape from New York from all indications. So that'll be different. I almost forgot how to act in a city where there's danger, because that place was, it's like, you know, walking into the fucking Disney store. But I miss it.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to when I can go back down there and hang out with them again and like actually like just go out and like hang out at a bar and fucking
go to the garden,
talk shit, you know what I mean? Like, it's still, as of right now, it's like appointment hangout. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'll be free around 8 o'clock, you know, I'll see you then. But like, when you actually can get together, you're actually, there's, it's different. So I do think there still will be that excitement. It's just to what level, because we have hung out virtually so much this year.
I regret putting a bunch of shit off. Like, we talked for years about just going down and getting cheap seats to a ball game, to a basketball game, and just never did it. And
we should have done it.
There was never a reason why we wouldn't. I mean, it's not like we were both like destitute, or we were living in fucking,
right,
you know, in Owensboro, Kentucky. Like,
we were even talking about, like, because you and I have talked, I don't know if we mentioned on here, like, one of the things we want to do someday is fucking courtside at a basketball game. Like,
yep.
Just once. Just fucking once.
Yep.
Like, and it's almost impossible to do it at a home Knicks game because of the fucking Madison Square Garden ticket prices.
Yeah.
But we were legitimately, like, discussing going to Cleveland,
yep,
to watch a Knicks game in Cleveland, because fucking courtside was like
1% of the price.
Right. It was like, what was it? Like, it wasn't cheap.
I think it was like $600. It was like
right.
$600.
And we were like, yeah, I don't know, we could swing that. Like, you know what I mean? We could, like,
yeah,
for the experience.
Yeah. We were like, hey, you know, we could probably get a hotel, or if we really wanted to, I mean, we could just do, you know, we could just go there and back. It's not that, it's like, I think Cleveland is like 8 or 9 hours from, no, not even 8 hours, probably eight
it's
hours.
It's not even that far, is it?
I think it may be 8 hours. I think it's a few hours past Buffalo. Buffalo is like 5-ish from here. But whatever. The point is that
it's not, it's doable.
Why not? You know, and you get everything taken away from you. And now it's like, fucking, why?
Should have done it.
Should have just jumped on a train some night and gone down to the garden and just looked to buy scalp tickets. Like, why not? What's the worst that happens is we go across the street and watch the game on TV. Like, and then
probably with other Knicks fans and fucking just shoot shit and hang out.
We're in Midtown. Like, I listen to a couple Knicks podcasts. Those guys are always at those bars. I mean, why not? Why not just do that? It's 2 hours on a train from here. Why not just do it? It's so dumb. And we just didn't.
It's fucking stupid.
Just instead, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. Do you want to get together and eat the same shitty pizza?
We could just get shitty pizza. And then
we'll talk. We'll bullshit for 2 hours before the show, and then we'll record the show, and then we'll bullshit for an hour after the show. So at the end of the day, we spent more time together than we would have if we got on a goddamn train and went down there, watched a game. I mean, what? But I hope that this sticks, you know? This is one of those things where I hope it sticks going forward. I hope that we can... We remember this shit. Remember the basement tapes, which maybe is like a reason why we did it. You know, maybe there's like some kind of subconscious reason that we've talked about this and kept the show going, and, you know, not really hid from the whole thing. Like, we've addressed it. So maybe it's because we use this show like a time capsule. You know,
right.
Maybe there's like an element of that, because I never want to forget. I never want to get lazy about shit again. You know, like, we wasted a year.
Yeah. Well, it's easy, though, to look back and think about what if, right? It's easy to do that. And I think we can be a little hard on ourselves as people, you know what I mean? Just saying like, oh, I should have done this and should have done this. And I don't know, if you were given the opportunity to do it again, who knows if you would do anything differently.
If I knew that this was coming.
If I knew it was going to be a year.
Yeah, the thing is like nobody has ever had everything taken away from this at this level, at this scope.
Magnitude.
Everybody has had everything taken away. You know, there's half a million people dead. There's people that have lost infinity more than you and I have. But like, just that free will thing, and we've never, I mean, you never had that before. So I get looking back at a summer and being like, oh, you know, we really should have, I really wanted to go to a couple more Yankee games this year. I really wanted to go, don't be so hard on yourself. This is different. This is now, totally different. You know that this is even a possibility. Like, how long does the world ride this? How hard is it going to be to get a hotel for is it the next 3 years? Is it the next 5 years? Dude. Is it, because that's how it's going to be, right? Especially this summer.
It's stupid easy right now.
Oh, right now, yeah. Right now they can't give them away. But wait.
Yeah.
Wait until May.
It's going to be June. So fucking. Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know what I mean?
It's pretty great.
I'll pay it. Yeah. I'll fucking pay it.
Yeah. Yeah, until you're paying Waldorf Astoria prices to stay at a fucking Staybridge Suites and like, inland New Jersey. Dude,
I mean, Kieran and I like to go to fucking Disney World.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. I know right now it's not too bad, but I'm not going there right now. Are you fucking crazy?
Plenty of psychos are going there right now.
Oh, dude, it's so, like, so we watch a couple of like Disney vlog channels and shit. I mean, from what it looks like, Disney itself is doing a pretty good job of, despite the fact that they're open in the first place, they seem to be doing a pretty good job of enforcing the rules. Like, you don't see people walking around with their masks off. You don't see it because I think they're on top of it. That being said, there's still way too many people there.
Yeah.
Like, too many, and they cap their numbers, but it's still a lot of fucking people. It's
crazy that it's just about money. That's something that we should all take away from this shit, is that it's everything in the world is money, and we're all just lucky to keep surviving. It's just freak luck that we all keep surviving, because there is no safety net built in, and no one gives a shit about anything besides money.
Mm-mm.
Disney would just not be open. They would say it's irresponsible for us to draw people into the park and get this many people here and blah, blah, blah. They have to be open. They have to be.
They literally have to be to survive.
It's what's happening with basketball, too, right now, the NBA. They had to open last year because of advertising. They went to the bubble because they were losing too much money. They had all this money to pay out for these players, and they were like, we have to open. We'll do it as safely as we can. This year, we have to be able to do this. It's just money. Nothing else matters. That's all there is.
Yeah. Yet it took, like you said, it took 3 months to argue over 1 month's rent. Like, for a stimulus to get past that.
A woefully inadequate, on a personal level, like on the direct payment shit, because I really appreciate the infrastructure money and I really appreciate the school stuff and blah, 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 blah. But how, and you can answer this better than I can because, Kieran's a teacher, but like, how guaranteed are we that our particular school district is going to use their grant money in an efficient manner to replace all the filtration systems? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I do think there are checks and balances in place that that ensure that happens. But at the same time, I've watched a school board meeting where they literally, like streaming online, watched a school board meeting where they were streaming it online because that needs to be available to the public, and then said, all right, we're gonna end this session now. And then said to the on the live stream was basically like, All right, members, stick around after we are. We have to do a couple of other matters we need to discuss. And it's like, wait a minute. If you have more to discuss, you can't end this live stream. You know what I mean? I think they did release their minutes afterwards and stuff. You know what I mean? And come to find out, it wasn't anything too important. But I'm like, the fact that you can just shut the stream off doesn't make me very happy. Like, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I'm sure the money generally goes where it should go, but
how quickly? You don't know.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, I don't know because I have a kid in this system, but I don't have, like, it's not like they give us crazy insight. Like, yeah, sure, here's a bunch of money to make sure everything is safe, but like, when? Now? Does that mean like right now? Yeah, like right now, is the custodian ripping out all the HVAC shit in the middle school to make sure that they get replaced, like they're replacing shit? I don't know, probably not. And it's probably, they're probably going to, you know, years from now, they'll be like, yeah, oh, well, it's a 3-year process. And right now, everybody's like, oh, this is great. But you don't know, there's how the average person just doesn't know how the execution is going to come.
Well, that's the thing. You hear the initial, like, hey, it happened. And you're like, great. Well, it's like, well, has it actually happened yet?
Yeah. Well,
like,
no.
Has that infrastructure actually been?
It's going to take, you know, yeah, it's going to be 18 months to.
It does take some time.
Oh,
you know?
Cool. But the money thing is like something you feel right away. And $1,400
Meanwhile, in Canada.
Meanwhile, in Canada. Enjoy your $1,400.
Yeah. Which I don't even know if I'm going to get. Like, I never got the last stimulus from January. Never got it.
You got the first one, right?
It took a while, but I got it eventually on a card.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You got, like, he hooked you up with, like, a vanilla gift card. Yeah. And he took $5 off the top for activation. Like, we're not going to cover the activation fee, of course, you understand. And
you understand. You get it.
Yeah, you've bought these for birthdays and holidays before, right? We assume. You know how these work. It's just one guy, like, going to, like, a Rite Aid buying, like, I need 261,000 of these. Do you have... I couldn't find the $1,200 increment ones.
Yeah, the Treasury Department literally just goes to the CVS and just like...
Yeah, everybody, yeah. Plops them. I have this many.
Can you preload these with $600, please? And I need a receipt.
I need individual receipts.
I need a receipt for... These are all separate transactions.
Yeah. Some dead-eyed teenager just like hits the PA. Andrew, come to the front end, please.
I'm gonna need my manager.
Yeah, that's definitely love it. Perfect. Any hot Coles news, Sean? Is there any?
Is there the Knicks won yesterday? They lost the game before that. Sitting right, you know, one game above 500, man. I mean,
love it. We're getting to the end of the season. We're getting to the end of the short
season. It's getting nitty gritty though. Like, it's close. I mean, anybody 10th place up has a shot, right? That's that's what it is because of the play-in games they're doing. Ideally, if we can get to 6th place, that's ideal. It's tight, and the Knicks have a rough road ahead of them. They just lost bad, dude. That was a bad game against the Bucks, man.
It's not great.
But they looked pretty good yesterday against OKC.
Not at first. Bad first quarter.
Really bad. I think they didn't take the game seriously, and then they were like, oh, shit, yeah, we have to play.
We didn't talk about the All-Star game and about Obi Toppin getting robbed from the dunk contest.
That's true. Dude, the disrespect to the New York Knicks organization.
It's incredible.
During the entire All-Star event.
If I see Kenny the Jet Smith out in public someday and I have enough I got enough pops in me at the time, I'm going to throw hands with him. I can't stand it. I get that the Knicks have a reputation, especially from like the old school players, the old heads, if you will, of probably, you know, all the bully ball and shit they did in the early 90s and late 80s and shit like that. I get it. It's a different world. Can you just stop the shit? We've been the butt of every joke for 20 fucking years. Can you just give it up? Can you stop that shit? Obi Toppin won the dunk contest. That kid won the dunk.
That shit pissed me
off.
That
kid won the dunk contest for jumping high and making a stupid ass face.
That's literally what happened. If you watch the highlights from the dunk contest, people, Hear me out. Obi's first two dunks were good.
Yeah.
Were solid dunks. Got him into the final. And I understand it's a totally different format this year. Whatever. You play by the rules that you're given, right? And he did. And he got into the final round. And even the, so I watched his final round dunk, and I thought, that wasn't great. Mm-hmm. It was good, but it wasn't great. He's probably going to lose. But then I saw the other kid's dunk, and I was like, oh, Obi's dunk was 10,000 times better than that shit.
In the bag.
In the bag. Nope. Insane.
He jumped in the air. He made a kissy face, and he dunked the basket. Standard dunk with a kissy face.
If he kissed the rim like he was supposed
to be doing, he would have broke all his goddamn teeth.
Sure.
But if he had made contact with the rim, I would have been like, all right, that's especially.
I would have been like, that's pretty cool.
And bonus points for COVID. Because that shit's, sure. That shit's gross. Like, you're.
Is somebody going to go up there with a fucking spray bottle and wipe down the rim?
Same kid that worked at Rite Aid that sold all those gift cards. Yeah. Just like, every fucking job I get is.
Every fucking job, man.
Yeah, Rob, dude. I was super heated. Also, again, the league not. Just disrespecting Julius Randle during the game. I think he had two touches.
He had 4 points. In a game where each team scores almost 200 points, how does one person only get 4 points? How?
I don't like him.
Listen, I get you have a hard-on for Steph Curry, man. Does he have to shoot the ball from half court every fucking trip up the court? Like, every fucking time?
You know what? I think your boy Dame Lillard's doing the same shit.
Fair enough. But
okay,
Curry's the one running around fucking doing a fucking 180 after he shoots the ball and shit and shimmying off the court.
And
doing his fucking this shit.
It's true. All right. Okay.
I can't stand watching the kid play, dude. Dame, I'm just saying. I can't fucking handle it. Not even in the All-Star game.
Just
the most beautiful
shooter the game's
ever
seen.
He also had a hissy fit and threw his mouth guard during the finals one time.
He did.
That. I understand LeBron bitches and moans.
Oh,
but he
good transition.
Fucking,
good transition because I don't want to hate you. So let's go. LeBron James, who says he was going to be there in body but not spirit, which is the most ludicrous thing to say. He's just pissed. He's pissed off. There's an All-Star game, and he's mad that he's the best player in the league again.
Oh yeah, right.
And, oh no,
I gotta go and do this. This isn't cool. It's not fair. Scored the same amount of points as Julius Randle. 4 points. LeBron James, King James, didn't want to play. Sat there with his arms crossed, just being a bitch about things.
He's basically like, I'll start, but then keep me on the bench. Basically.
What is wrong with you, dude? What is wrong with him?
Yeah.
That's that bitch made dude shit. That's what I'm talking about. I understand what you're talking about with Steph. There is no better example than LeBron James. LeBron James is the most dominant player in the NBA for almost 20 years. And this is how he reacts. This is how he acts. You got the entire league on your back. Your back to go to the All-Star game. You got the entire league showing up. It's a fan event. The fans have stuck with you guys through the bubble. We stuck with you. Ratings are super high. We've been there. We've been engaged. No one's tuning out. We're with you guys. You know, we're okay with all those bullshit commercials in between free throws. I'm not, but whatever.
I hate that shit.
It's the worst. You're the patches that have grown to gargantuan size on your jerseys, your stupid floor graphics. We're still tuning in. We're not complaining. We're watching. This is an event for us to showcase you're the best of the best, and you're going to complain about it because we selected you? We chose you to do it, dude. It just seems like, ugh, God, fuck off. And then to not, when everybody in the world asks him to get out there and support, you know, make a public proclamation about getting the vaccine and shit, and he's like, nah. Come on, dude.
Dude, I just, I rewatched The Last Dance.
Oh, yeah?
Like, as like background, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll throw this on while I'm doing shit. So it's just been on.
Yeah.
To watch moments from those All-Star games compared to now, it's a totally different animal, man. It's a totally different animal. Like, you look at they had the segment with Kobe playing in the All-Star game next to MJ, And like, you see them actually goofing off, having a good time, like happy to be, like, we're at the fucking All-Star game. They're like smiling and shit. The only person I saw smiling because they seemed to actually be enjoying themselves. Don't get me wrong, like, players were definitely laughing and smiling shit, but only because they'd be like, I missed that shot. Can you believe it? Ha ha. Like, that was the only type of shit I saw. Fucking Giannis Antetokounmpo was having the time of his life. I got to give it up for him.
Obi Toppin was having a real good time, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids like it. What's to your point, what's even crazier about that is that those games were before the era of everybody at the same AAU sleepaway camp. That's before everybody was friends, man. They were all rivals, like bitter rivals. Like there was blood on the court, yeah, and shit. There were fights in those days. Now,
are there two teams that hate each other anymore?
I feel like there's still some residual shit. Well, not anymore, but like up until, I think the last one was the Cavs and the Warriors. I think that there was like legitimate.
There was some beef there.
Beef,
yeah.
There. Yeah. 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 But other than that, I mean.
But that was only an issue in the finals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I miss fucking Knicks Bulls 2013.
Dude, I miss, like, I miss Knicks Bulls in the 90s, but yes.
Well, of course, but I'm saying, like, yeah. I'm trying to think recent shit. Like, that's the most
the
recent
Celtics
thing I can think
seem
of
to get into shit with people. I feel like the Celtics always have somebody that they're kind of.
And the Sixers. I will say the 76ers and the Celtics probably.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one.
Yeah, but like even like the oldest rivalry in bat, like the Celtics Lakers, even that's kind of like, eh, nobody gives a shit. You know, I miss the competitive. I don't know, dude. It's just so ticky tack, and fouls are ridiculous, and everybody's got handshakes.
Well, I texted you yesterday.
Oh, but the, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been a pretty big NBA fan my entire life. And I would say 50% of the time, I don't see the foul that happens, but it gets called.
Yeah.
And then I pay super close attention to the replay, and I still don't see it.
Dude,
I don't see it. I don't. And I'm like, will someone please explain to me what I'm missing?
I've always thought it was me because I have always had the same problem. I don't get it. And I grew up watching a different game than what's today. I mean, back in the day, it was like no blood, no foul type shit, prison ball, you know, but
the big rivalry of my childhood,
yeah,
that was like that, where people beating the shit out of each other, was fucking Lakers Kings.
Yeah.
Which, like early 2000s shit.
Vlade Divac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Mike Bibby. Weber and, Hedo Turkoglu and Peja Stojakovic.
Turkoglu. I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah. Going against fucking, you know, Kobe and Shaq and,
yeah,
you know, Robert Horry and Rick Fox.
They're
and
just
Derek
not
Fisher. And
he's gonna,
fucking,
you're going to go deep in the bench.
Yeah.
Assistant coach. no, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore, dude. And that, to me, that was like the fun of the game, was having two teams that just don't like each other. Like, there's just bad blood there. And I think that still exists in baseball, but that's because baseball, I don't think, has the same sort of collegiate, high school, AAU type of thing. There's teams that just don't like each other. There still are. I mean, the Red Sox and the Yankees don't like each other. They just,
right,
they've never liked each other. They're never going to like each other. Even when, you know, the teams are totally separate. Like, we've watched that.
You know what I think it is, though? I think it's the fans. I think the fans, like, Aaron Judge doesn't give a shit about, I don't even know who's on the fucking Red Sox anymore because everybody left.
Yeah.
But, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but I think when you have to go to that stadium and those people there hate you,
yeah,
that's got to spill over to the team being like, I can't believe we have to fucking play these guys again. I don't think you get that in the NBA. You know what I mean? It's not like the Knicks are rolling into, you know, fucking Indiana to play the Pacers and they're getting, you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
what a great rivalry that used to be. Yeah.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
and
you're right.
I'm sure that the fans still are like, fuck the Knicks, I'm sure, but like they probably hear it everywhere, so they just drown it out.
It's disappointing, but I still love the game. It's become so, I don't know, like the players union, everybody's like boys, you know what I mean? Like everybody's tight. And that's not what I want out of sports. I want bitter rivalry. I don't know. Maybe it makes me like a step closer to wanting like gladiatorial combat and shit. But I feel like there's like a
yeah, but
there's a level to
it's,
that. Like you want to know
it's
that
the
it's
camaraderie of the team too.
Of the team, right? But I don't want to see, you know, LeBron James walking up and down the layup line with the other team because he's been on 18 different teams, so he's played with three quarters of the league, and he's got a personal handshake for everybody, and he's just walking through doing his.
How do they memorize those handshakes?
They have to sit
understand.
In their rooms and just practice. I know it. You know, they're watching like.
Do you think they're on Zoom calls and they're like, "All right, I'm going to dap you up like this."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Kevin Love, you were the one that ended with the salute. No, that was. Yeah,
that was J.R. Smith. Fuck.
All right. Do you think they like watch game tape and shit just for that? Like they have a session afterwards where LeBron's like, "All right, y'all, everybody get in here and gather around. We're going to watch the layup line."
Yeah. We got 20 minutes of handshake practice after regular practice. And it's required.
I don't want that shit.
Or else you'll get fined.
Yeah, but by LeBron. Like LeBron's taking money.
He has the power to fine
people. Yeah. But poor Caruso, just every day he just can't get in his head, you know. I mean,
when's that kid just gonna shave his head?
It's so disappointing. I imagine the same time
LeBron does.
Thibodeau does. Yeah,
no, you know what it is, it's LeBron is like, "Hey man, you have the worst hair on the team. That is the only reason you're still here."
Yes.
And if you shave your head, then I'm gonna look like an asshole.
I'm gonna need you to keep
so
that
you
hair.
Need to I'm going to need you to keep that.
Yeah.
Instead of high and tight, I need it low and loose. That's exactly.
You can wear a headband. I'm willing to budge on that. But
that's great. I used to wear one too, but it got too far up my head. I couldn't wear it anymore.
Yeah, it started to look like a bow, like an Easter bow, like a bonnet.
Yeah. So, it was like an NBA yarmulke. I couldn't.
His hairline is truly abhorrent. But what are you going to do? These guys, they're hanging on too tight.
I don't understand KD's issue, man. If we're talking about
KD's
hair.
KD's ridiculous. What do you got going on back there, man? Stop it.
It's not even a bald spot. It's just like a patch. It's like somebody
stop it.
Grabbed it off your head, man.
He's got like a couple of little sprinkles in there, but come on. Just shave your head. And it's not like he's got like...
But you know what? I give him more credit than LeBron, though.
Why?
Because KD's just like, this is what my hair looks like. What am I going to do? LeBron fucking, you know, LeBron... puts way too much work into that shit.
Look, if you're I'm trying to think of somebody with glorious hair.
In the NBA.
Kelly Olynyk. If you're if you have a Kelly Olynyk pelt of hair, I get it. But Kevin Durant's got it right down to a one anyway. I mean, he's got it down, you know what I mean? It's just the guard.
Just buzz.
He's just shaving
shit,
with the guard. Just take the guard off, bro. It's that close. It's not like unless you got some weird like lines or something, like birthmarks on your head, just get rid of it. We could see three quarters of your skull anyway. Stop it. You look like a
Clyde
idiot.
Drexler needs to come to a lecture Clyde at the NBA.
Yes. Like I,
needs to come give a TED talk before like the season starts.
Maybe he did that at the NBA weekend. He was in like some conference room somewhere with like a PowerPoint up.
Conference room B, we have Clyde the Glides. Clyde the Glide's Guide to Hair Loss.
How to handle hair loss in the league. He's got his PowerPoint clicker.
Listen, you have every right to be bald, man. You just have to own it.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Clyde could have shaved his head.
We didn't choose this life. It chose us. But
yeah,
you have
and the dude was still a fucking perennial all-star.
Team USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking dream
team.
Dream team,
baby. He was Clyde the Glide.
Kind of, you know, and who showed him up? Fucking MJ in the finals. Shaved fucking head. MJ knew what was up.
Head.
He was like, "I need to shave my head," so he did.
This is getting out of control. I'm just going to take it off, and it became a signature. So maybe just do that. Not to mention, like KD, and every day, no one's seen the top of your head anyway. You're 7'9". Like,
right?
Come on,
nobody,
bro.
The only time we see it is on a court.
Yeah.
When the camera is like right above your
head.
I'm
just looking up at your neck. You know? So
yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? Just stop it. You could put anything up there, especially in the offseason. You could do anything. Stop it. You look like an idiot.
I mean, look at all these players who shave their head over time. Fucking Jason Kidd. Mike Bibby.
the aforementioned Mike
Shaq.
Bibby. Yeah, Shaq.
Shaq. All these players, they hit a certain age, just say, fuck it.
Yeah, I don't need this.
It's like a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage in the NBA that you just shave your head when the time comes.
Do you know who else non-NBA related needs to give up the fight? Is Prince Harry. He's got some truly, truly suspect shit going on there in the back. Just
I thought you were going to say me, so I was really concerned for a second.
No, God, no. No.
I got a haircut yesterday, and this is a legit a conversation I have with my the woman who cuts my hair.
Every time you go in, it's like, is it time?
I literally, I'm like, listen, you need to tell me. Like, I understand that I'm a huge revenue source for you, but...
I'll come in here, you can put the hot towel on me and shave me with a straight razor.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah. I'll come in every month just for you to shave it. But, like, I don't know, man. I'm getting, like, it's high. That's what I'm worried about.
Don't worry about the height. It's fine. Height's fine. You got to worry about the other stuff. You got to worry about the back. That's everybody can forgive a high hairline. It's when it starts going around the crown that it becomes unacceptable. And that's what's up with Harry. Harry's got...
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Harry's got the good hairline up front, but on the top, it's just...
He's got the Caruso.
He's got the Caruso, but it's long. And come on, bro. Like, let's just have a modicum of self-respect. Let's give up this fight. You don't need this. You don't need this. You're the prince. You're a real prince, sir.
Right. And if there is a such thing as good hair plugs out there, you can get them.
You could, you're the prince of England.
You can literally, you could probably, you know, find an indigenous person from a country that you guys have overtaken.
New Guinea?
Take the scalp from that person and put it on your head.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you could probably do some really fucked up shit.
You can definitely get your,
to some crazy shit.
Yeah, you can definitely get your hands on like a transient without anybody asking too many questions.
Sure. I think they're called gypsies over there.
Yeah, I believe they are. I wasn't trying to avoid it, but
yeah. Travelers.
Yeah. Did you watch that interview that everybody watched last week?
No.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch two rich people bitch about being rich.
Isn't it bizarre that we give a shit as Americans? Like, why do we care about the monarchy?
Like, even if she is struggling with some stuff, I'm like, I literally can't give a fuck. I can't. I understand. Maybe you're probably dealing with some shit.
Now's not the time, Meg.
Yeah, and
we got some other shit going on.
I don't care. Like, I get that you have an issue with your husband's family, and they're probably legitimate issues and legitimate concerns. Mm-hmm. But why do I?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get that the royal family is a bunch of shitty people. You probably knew that already, though, right?
I mean, like, it's literally...
How can a royal family not be shitty?
It's the royal family. Like, when you say, like, all those idioms of, like, what you think, she's a Queen of England? Like, all that shit. It's literally...
That's literally them.
It's them. Like, they've been in power for 1,300 years or however long it's been. Like, that's them. That you were in the house.
Like, yeah.
It's fascinating to me that
when people go to like somebody's house and they're like, well, it's not Buckingham Palace, but like, they know it literally, they can't say that because it is.
It's actually Buckingham Palace.
It's
amazing.
Do you think they say it when they go to like they go to like a vacation home and they get in there and they're like, well, it's not everything we expected, you know? Well, it's not Buckingham Palace, because they actually can like make that comparison.
Right.
Cause
that's where they stay 6 days a week. Right, that's the house. That's the crib. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, gazillionaire Oprah Winfrey talking to royal family member about... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that racism is rampant throughout.
Well, they're the whitest...
The royal family. Like, richest, it's gotta be.
Yeah, they're like the oldest institution. Right? Yeah, of course.
And I'm not saying that that's not a legitimate thing for her to be upset about, but you speaking nationally or internationally about it isn't going to make me feel badly.
But you know how many people watch that shit?
People love
it. And this is the part that mystifies me, is that that interview and the royal weddings and the royal funerals or whatever were so... tuned into that shit, and like, for what? Why do we care so much about that? Like, we're not.
It's a bullshit fantasy, right?
But it's the only country that's a bullshit fantasy for. They're not the only nation in the world that still has some sort of monarchy, even at a state level or whatever a decorative level or whatever they are. But we don't care about like the prince of fucking, you know, Finland or whoever else has one. Tuned into it. Oh, the royal wedding. Oh, there's a baby. Oh, new prince. Like, who gives a shit about these people? They don't rule the country. They're there as, like, ambassadors, basically.
I really think it would be gutsy, like after the queen dies, like, you know, they just kind of go, all right,
shut it down.
Let's shut this down.
Who gives a shit?
Like we're shutting it down. We don't want it anymore.
Dude, poor Chuck. Can you imagine that poor bastard? He's born and he's like, oh yeah, any day now. Any day I'm groomed to be the next king of England. A king. I'm gonna be a king.
Yeah, fucking
like,
king.
Your mother's gonna live to be 161 years old. Like, ah! Like his whole life he's been waiting to take over. He's 75 now. He's just, so that's it. Like they're grooming his son. They've been grooming his son since his son was born, who's like 40.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's it. If he's king, he's gonna be king for like 2 weeks. His whole life, he thought, I'm going to rule.
He could die first.
He could. Yeah, he's 75.
He could absolutely die first.
It's not like he's like a young man. He's a 75-year-old man. He's nearly an octogenarian. He's a septuagenarian. He's an elderly person. He's a senior citizen.
Yeah.
That poor guy. A whole life of like waiting to go on. You're an actor. You know what that's like. Waiting in the wings, waiting for your cue line, like that nervous anticipation, like, oh man, I'm going to go out there any second. I'm going to get to do my thing. Except you just waited for 75 years. And the whole time, the director of the play is like rubbing your shoulders going, oh man, this is all going to be yours. You're going to get out there. Yeah, you're going to nut all over
this.
This
is all going to pay off. Don't you worry.
Yeah. That poor bastard. Jesus Christ. That's what you get for being shitty. All right, Sean. Well, that's it. Maybe this was our last unvaccinated podcast. Maybe we'll have one more. Who knows?
We'll probably have another. I'm sure we'll have a couple more.
Yeah.
You know, basement tapes.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction though.
I finally get a desk too. I finally get a desk down here.
I was going to say if you want to, we can keep doing this. But Sean, I don't want to stay down here any longer than I have to.
I don't blame you. No, I've been in the new office one time, and that was when you first got it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, this is going to be great. I don't know. Is it? Is it great? I don't fucking know.
I haven't been in there for more than 5 seconds since September. I walk in every month, and I put money on the desk, and I walk out. That's it. That's been my relationship for like 6 months with that place. Just a money pit. But, dude, you know what? In 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks, I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna start dusting things off. I'm gonna turn on everything to make sure it all fires up. The hum of Trenchmouth Productions will once again be heard.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna make a movie.
Believe it or not.
Even or not, things are turned around. You want, all right, listen, so I'm going to, as we sign off here, I got to get you back in the habit. You got to sign off the right way because we're transitioning here back into the normal world soon. So I got to get you used to it.
Hey.
There it is.
Thanks for tuning in to Hard On Podcast.
That's new.
Go to facebook.com/HardOnPodcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stumble, Stitcher, Spotify. I know, dude. I'm trying to get back into it. It's hard to hype. Look, I feel like if they want to know, they know already.
I know. It's just, but... You know, it's,
but you like it.
I do like it. It makes it feel official because we don't start off. We haven't started off with our, you know.
It's been hit or miss. Yeah,
it's just kind of, and I kind of like it. I kind of like rolling into it sometimes. But other times I feel like I need a little like, hey, we're doing this now.
It does help to get the ball rolling, I guess, at the beginning.
Sometimes, yeah.
Hey, but that was Hard On Podcast 246. Yeah. I'm Sean Barnes. That's Jay Laird. Right. On the other side of the TV screen that I'm looking at. You can find us at hardonpodcast.com/episodes. You go there, you can find every episode of this motherfucker because they're not all available on Stitcher or Spotify or iTunes, but you can find the most recent episodes about almost 2 years back. So it's not like there's nothing up there. You can go to Twitter at HardOnPod on Twitter and Facebook.com/HardOnPodcast. I'm at SeanBarnes32 on Twitter, and Jay has dug himself into a Twitter hole that no one may enter.
It's true.
And that's Hard On Podcast for this week. Jay, this was really quite good for me. I don't want to beat off a dead horse.